I'm going to begin with a familiar passage. You may not be able to see this real well on there, but I'll read it for you and you'll recognize it very quickly. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Darkness, deep waters, vessels, storms, light. Each of these themes come out in several different passages of Scripture, including the one we're looking at today. But it begins with Genesis chapter 1, the opening words of the whole Bible. Because in there we see that there is darkness, and we see that there is waters, and we see that there's the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and then eventually we see light come. And we're gonna come back to that in a moment. I want to set that as the tone for these five words and connecting them to some familiar stories throughout Scripture. But when I say darkness, I'm talking about physical darkness, that is the absence of light. But darkness is also evil, sin, lack of understanding, ignorance, shame. Deep waters is, of course, oceans and seas and lakes. But it's also mystery, fear, even monsters, the unknown, that which we cannot control. How about vessels? Vessels are ships to go on top of water. But the vessels are also our attempts to stay afloat, to control the uncontrollable. Our lifestyle is a vessel, our philosophies and things like that. Storms, the wind and the waves at sea, but also they are how they test the vessels, the way in which we approach our problems and things, the sinking of what we thought we had control of. And then there is light, physical light, the ability to see. There's also the ability to understand, it bringing truth to life. So with that broad definition of these five words, think about the story of Noah. You can find that in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. Very familiar story, how mankind had gotten so filled with sin and darkness that God just had enough of it. And he was going to do away with all people except for Noah and his family, who were saved on a boat that Noah had built. And God brought so much rain, so much flooding, that all of humanity was wiped out except for Noah, his family, and the animals that were saved on that boat. And then eventually, as the waters subsided and the boat landed on Mount Ararat, and light came, and Noah came out of the ark, and as the light came, it created a rainbow as a sign of God's promise and covenant. Now, what do you see in that story? You see the darkness because of the sin of mankind. You see, obviously, deep waters as the flood came. There was a vessel called an ark that God had Noah built. And of course, there was a storm that lasted so long, it wiped out all of life except for all that was on that boat. And there was light that came through to create the rainbow to be a reminder of the promise of God and a covenant to come. Another story much later in the Old Testament, another very familiar one, has to do with darkness, deep waters, vessels, storms, and light. And this is the story of Jonah. Jonah, a prophet of God who we know nothing else about except for this story in the book named after him. And in this story, he was told by God to go to a place called Nineveh, which at the time that Jonah received this message was the major power in the world. And it was an empire built on cruelty and barbarity. Being really nasty, yeah. The way in which they instilled their power throughout the world was fear. And so when God told Jonah to go there and tell them to repent, to tell them to turn and turn to God, the one and true God, he understandably was very hesitant about that and didn't want to go there. And so he ran away. He hopped on a boat in the opposite direction. And on that boat, a storm came, and he realized that as the crew tried to rescue keep the boat from capsizing, he realized that he was the reason for the storm. He had them throw him overboard, and the storm stopped, and Noah went down into the water, was swallowed by a massive fish, and somehow miraculously stayed alive inside that fish for 3 days and was literally spit up on the shore, and then he went to Nineveh. He preached and told them to repent, and to his surprise and actually his disappointment, they actually did repent. And they turned to God, at least for a time. What do you see in that story? You see the darkness of the sin of the people. You see the darkness that Jonah entered into when he was swallowed by that fish. It must have been just a horrific kind of terror for 3 days. You see the deep waters that this fish swam into, and the boat was on top of, and the vessel, the boat that was almost shipwrecked, and the storm that came to get Noah's attention and to get him to the place where he would go, to where he was supposed to go. And then you see the light of understanding, the light of repentance that came to the people of Nineveh when Jonah finally brought that message to them. Darkness, deep waters, vessels, storms, and light. And then we also see this in a story we looked at just a few weeks ago, earlier in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus was with these same disciples, and he was on this same lake, and a storm came up, and it was nighttime, and Jesus was asleep, but the seasoned fishermen, at least some of the disciples were struggling in the storm, and they knew these waters very well. They knew it was bad, and Jesus was asleep. They woke him up. "Lord, don't you care? We're going to die here. What are you doing? Please help us." And Jesus stood up, asked them why they didn't have enough faith, and he simply spoke to the wind and the waves, and it all quieted down. And the response to their, and this is in Mark chapter 4, the response there was that, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves should obey him?" They were terrified at Jesus. Even though they were thrilled that the storm stopped and their lives were saved, nonetheless, who is this? In that story, you had darkness. It was at nighttime. There was a darkness of understanding, a darkness, a lack of faith on disciples' part. You had obviously the deep waters of the Sea of Galilee, the vessel on which they were on, the storm that came up, and a glimpse of light at the end. Light in the sense that their lives were saved from the storm, but also a light of understanding of who is this, but they weren't ready to answer that question just yet. Even though they followed him, they had already seen some amazing miracles and heard the amazing preaching this man does, but the light hadn't completely gone on yet, but there was glimpses. Darkness, deep waters, vessels, storms, and light. Now to today's story. You see these same five elements at play. There was darkness. It says in verse 47 that later that night, now just prior to that, it's important to point out here that this is following the feeding of the 5,000. And if you remember from last week, I read this, how Jesus and the disciples needed a break. They needed to get away, needed rest. Jesus wanted to pray. And a large part of that, especially on Jesus' part, was to be able to grieve over the horrific death of his friend, his cousin, John the Baptist, at the hands of Herod. Well, finally he did. It tells us in verse 45 and 46 that he went up by himself on a mountain to pray while the disciples went off on a boat. So later that night, it says in 47, the boat was in the middle of the lake. So there's night, there's darkness, there's a vessel, there's waters, deep waters. And then they were struggling and straining with the oars because the wind was against them. So there's a storm. Darkness, deep waters, a vessel, and a storm striking the disciples very physically, very, in very tangible ways. And then they see Jesus walking out on the water. Now, that means a whole lot of things, but let's put ourselves in the situation as a sailor, especially in ancient times. Even to this day, stories of the sea, and I've never been a sailor by any stretch, but I watch the movies and I hear the stories. One of the most famous, most successful film series in the last couple of decades is Pirates of the Caribbean. And what do they do in that series? They weave together legendary stories and myths and fables about sea creatures and ghosts, and it's kind of creepy, but it's kind of fun. And that was the same in Jesus' time, because the water is dark. In fact, a lot of scholars believe that the sea, the people of in the ancient world believed that the sea was the place that demons came from, because it was dark, it was mysterious, it was underworld. So they had their own stories about monsters, they had their own stories about ghosts on the ocean. So they see a figure in what little light there is. It says that it was still before dawn when Jesus went out there. So he miraculously walks on the water, and what do they see? A figure, a silhouette. What else would they conclude? That this would be a ghost? They didn't know it was Jesus just yet. Now, before we come back to this story, let's go back to where we began. Genesis chapter 1, in creation, there was darkness, there was deep water, and there was a vessel, the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, it tells us. Now, think about that. What is Jesus doing? It's dark, there's a storm, there's water, and he is walking on top of it. He is sending a message that he is the Son of God, because here he is doing what the Spirit of God did in chapter 1 of Genesis. It was dark, there was a storm, there was deep water, and he is hovering over it. He is walking on top of it. So he's sending them a message about who he is. Because remember the last storm? Who is this that calmed the waves, that calmed the wind? Well, he's answering that question, you know, in part by walking out there and demonstrating this. One more important element about Genesis 1 in connection with the story and connection with our lives. Notice that God is present in the darkness. God is present in the deep waters. God is present in the storm way before there is any light. God is there before the light comes. So it's not as if we pray for God to arrive. God is already there. It's we who don't see him or recognize the silhouette of his presence and we're terrified, and yet there he is. And that's what God is doing in these stories. And that's what Christ is doing walking on this water. Now, if we go to Matthew's rendition of this story, we see something that you're probably familiar with that Mark didn't write about. And that is how Peter reacted. So before they recognized Jesus fully, and before he got into the boat, something else happened. So this is in Matthew chapter 14, and I'm going to pick it up at 26. So it's the same story with a little more detail. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come out to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, there's that confession. There is the answer to the question they asked in the last storm on the boat. Who is this that calmed the winds and the waves? Now they know this is the Son of God. Now they saw, just like the Spirit of God hovers over the waters, there's Jesus, the Son, hovering over the waters. And think about Peter. And if you've heard any teaching on this story in Peter's aspect before, I'm sure you've heard this, but it bears repeating because it's so important. When did Peter sink? When he looked away from Jesus and at the storm. When he looked at the waves, when he looked at the wind, when he saw that. When his eyes were on the Lord, he was able to do the impossible and walk on water. We're not going to chastise for Peter for getting out of the boat. What are you doing, Peter? You can't walk in the water. Well, he did at first. And as long as his eyes were fixed on the Lord, he was okay. But when he looked to the storm around him and away from his God, he began to sink. What a great lesson for all of us. So when they get back in the boat and they make this confession about him being the Son of God that we see in Matthew, in Matthew's story. By the way, that was a precursor, if you will, to just a few chapters later in Mark and in Matthew, in the same progression, where Jesus asks the disciples that exact question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answer in different ways. And then Peter, imagine that, answers it on behalf of all of them and says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And then also, not long after that, Peter, James, and John go up with Jesus on top of a mountain, a mountaintop, the opposite of deep depths of the sea. And there is what's called the Transfiguration, and we'll look at that in detail in a few more weeks. But there also, his glory is that much more revealed to Peter, to James, to John, eventually to all of them. So this is what we're seeing unfold in the story, a better understanding of who it is they are with. Now back to Mark once again, because Mark kind of makes his own comment here about this when he says in the 51st verse of Mark 6, they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. So what does he mean by that? Well, what was the last miracle they had seen before this? A few hours earlier, the very day before, thousands of people fed with a few loaves of bread and fish, which, by the way, came out of the sea. And so did they forget so quickly that God is able to help them? Think of all the other miracles that these men had witnessed. From, again, the first miracle that some of them saw was the miracle of the fish coming to their boat after they had fished all night and got nothing. Jesus sent them back out and they got more than they could handle. There was that miracle. There was the miracle of healing a man with leprosy, a man who was paralyzed his whole life, a little girl everyone else thought was dead, a woman who couldn't stop bleeding. He gave sight to blind. He gave a man who had a shriveled hand, was able to use it again. And then there was the exorcisms, and there was impure spirits and demons, and especially the one in the Gerasenes, where there was one man who had, you know, thousands of demons cast out of him and cast into a herd of pigs. And all of those things happened over the course of the last several months or a year, whatever it had been. And yet when the storm came, it was like it never happened. No wonder Jesus said, "Why don't you have more faith?" It wasn't as if they never saw him do anything before. It wasn't as if they didn't think he was capable. He was the same God who stopped a storm on that very lake another night at a time earlier. Darkness, deep waters, vessels, storms, and light. So the end of the sixth chapter, then they get back to the shore in a place called Gennesaret, and Jesus continues to do his work. Jesus continues to heal people, and people and crowds once again gathered. And the disciples now understood at a deeper level who it is they were following. They still weren't there yet. They still weren't all the way there yet, but this was a big step for them to see God in the form of his Son, the Christ, that is Jesus of Nazareth, walking on the water, hovering over water like the Spirit of God in Genesis 1. And that same God was with them. How about you? What kind of darkness are you encountering right now in your life? The unknowns, the mystery. What kind of deep waters are we in? And when I say deep waters are necessary part of our life. A fisherman has to go out onto the sea to get the fish, or people who travel by sea and take ships across oceans have to be out there to do their job. And they respect the sea and they love the sea, but they're also afraid of the sea. So we all have deep waters that we are necessarily part of life. There are dangers out there. What kind of vessels are we using to get through the deep waters and to find our way through the darkness? Vessels of our own making, our own decisions, ways of thinking and philosophies that are conjured up by ourselves or something else, something other than or less than the God who gave us the way through. And when the storm comes, it will test the strength of your vessel. Because if we have things of lesser power that we are depending upon, the storm will show it for what it is. The ship will capsize. The boat will crash on the shoreline. And we'll be succumbed into the deep waters. But when we allow the light, that is the understanding, the truth of God, to come to us, and we start to see how not only has He come now, but He's been with us all along. He was with us in the darkness. He was with us over the deep waters. He was with us in the storm. He's with you right now in this storm, whether it's the big storm that we are all literally sharing in together in one form or another, in many forms, of a virus that struck our world, or other storms that are more common to us and more normal, if you will, but still painful, still difficult, still challenging. Are you trusting God in the storm? Are you acknowledging that Jesus isn't just this neat guy to follow who says cool things and challenges authority? He is indeed who He says He is. And that's the question then we'll wrap up this morning with. Who do you say that He is? Is He indeed the Son of God who has brought life to us? And I'll wrap this up this morning with a passage that John wrote to start his gospel, which sounds very much like the opening words of Genesis. Listen to this from John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask that You would give it hands and feet and understanding. And I pray for everyone who's watching this now or watching this later, that You would touch their hearts and help them to see You through their storm. In Jesus' name, amen.